For you, proof of mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
Oh, ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Bears, and Bing guest, the glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah Bankhead. And now we bring you the president of the far-flung Crosby Enterprises, the vice president of the Pittsburgh Pirates, a member of the board of directors of the Minute Maid Corporation, the star of the Paramount picture Mr. Music, and the mayor of Elko, Nevada, the Honorable Harry L., quote, Bing, unquote, Crosby.
Now, wait. Just what was all that for?
Well, Bing, with Tallulah Bankhead as your guest tonight, I thought we should get off on the right foot. Well,
why the build-up for me?
Well, I want Miss Bankhead to understand that she's not doing a guest shot with some crumb.
Ken, you're getting into an absolute snit over nothing. Your eager desire to build me up as a big shot is appreciated, but actually there's no need for it.
Oh, but there is, Bing. To look at you, a person would think you were just a crumb.
Well, Tallulah likes crumbs. With pink champagne, yes. I think. But candidly, I'm considerably titillated over her visit. Really, I am. Of course, she has been known to exhibit flashes of temperament. She's colorful, but deep down, Ken, she's really just a gentle, considerate, thoughtful, meek, gracious autocrat.
Who could ask for anything more?
Lots of times people just misunderstand Tallulah.
I think they do. Wouldn't you say that she's really just a shy, demure, southern belle?
Belle? No, she's more of a gong. But Ken, even though Miss Bankhead is one of the world's most outstanding women, and is sometimes a bit of a termagant, they say, but you and I don't have to grovel in the dust. We don't have to lick her boots when she arrives, we really.
We don't?
No, not unless she tells us to.
Seems fair enough.
Certainly.
Say, Bing, what do you think about Miss Bankhead's singing? Have you heard her sing?
Well, for that, she should lick our boots, I think.
I don't know. I think her singing voice has sort of a quaint, plaintive quality.
Ah, plaintive. Well, that may be right. Sounds a little like the mating call of a tone-deaf moose.
Oh, all you baritones are jealous of each other.
Ah, no. I'm a tone higher than she is.
Well, I must say, she has great energy.
She certainly has.
Well, what I was getting at, Bing, is that she must have terrific energy to handle a program like The Big Show.
Yeah, that's right.
That show runs for an hour and a half every week.
I've got to hand it to her. Just a half an hour program like we do exhausts me, you know. I walk out of here after a program, I'm as limp as a dish rag.
That's the way you come in, too.
Well, I'm even limper when I leave. That's all I can. But I'm strangely gay tonight. I'm bubbling, insouciant. Oh, yes. I guess it's just because Tallulah's coming.
Exciting.
Hello, Bing, darling.
Tallulah.
Well, Bing, darling, it really is wonderful to see you. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be on your program. My heart is just pounding, darling. Oh, I'm as giddy and excited as a schoolgirl, if my memory serves me right. No, but I really am excited.
You're excited. I'm as limp as a dish rag.
What's exciting about that?
Tallulah, it's marvelous having you here. It really is. I confess I haven't slept a wink for nights just anticipating your visit.
Oh, you're sweet and so reassuring. Let me look at you. Yes, yes, just the same. Oh, darling, you haven't changed one bit.
Really?
You're the same little boy. Now come here while I tuck your shirt tail inside your trousers. Bing, my darling, please don't take me a shrew for jumping over you like this, but really, darling, between this revolting Los Angeles crowd and the way you dress, well, California's become a nightmare to me.
You're the only woman I know who can say revolting for 16 bars. Murder in Los Angeles. I must agree. Tell me, you know what you ought to do? While you're out here, you should hop down to Palm Springs and relax.
Me? Relax?
Sure, certainly. Go down to the springs, lie in the sun, soak up that vitamin D, drink in the sunshine.
Drink what in the sunshine?
The sunshine.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, Tallulah, I don't know why, but I got the shock of my life. I really did when I learned that you were going to do your own program on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're such a legitimate star.
Oh, well, Bing, I'll tell you, I was getting restless waiting around for a suitable play. Then one evening I became so engrossed in a book that inspired me to accept a radio engagement.
What book was that?
My bank book.
It shouldn't surprise anyone. Your extravagance is legendary.
Oh, well, darling, I can't help it, Bing. I never could learn to hang on to a buck.
Well, you ought to talk to Bob Hope sometime. He knows all the Hopes.
Well, I will talk with Bob next time he's on the big show. He was my guest not long ago.
Oh, that sounds like an interesting combination. Bankhead and lunkhead. Hey, what did Bob do on your hour and a half show?
An hour and a half.
That's Bob, all right. You just can't pry him away from the microphone. He wears ground gripper shoes and he has a suction cup on the end of his nose.
Well, darling, enough of the big show, Bing. What do you do here on this itsy-bitsy thing?
We sing some songs, sell some Chesterfields, that's about it.
But don't you have any glamour, darling? I mean, don't you have a girl singer?
Frequently, certainly. Tonight we have a very special girl singer.
Oh, isn't he divine? Is he big?
Yeah, tonight Peggy Lee's going to sing for us.
Peggy Lee? Well, unless she happens to be related to Robert E. Lee, I am sure I'll detest her.
Rebel yell here in a minute.
Oh, you bet. I sing, you know.
You do?
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square.
Oh, thank you, Marlena Dietrich.
Well, really, Bing, it seems to be rather a clash of bookings to have Miss Lee and me on the same program.
Really?
Well, after all, I am a girl. I am a singer. Well?
Now, that's two strikes. You have one more.
You crumb.
Oh, boy. That's the only girl I know that can tie Toot Shore in a knot. You know very well I jest. I do, to say the least. And when I refer to you singing in a derogatory manner, I certainly don't mean it.
Well, I should hope not.
Of course I don't mean it. Tell you what, I've got a song here that I'm supposed to do right now. I'll just go over and sit down. You can sing my song.
Oh, no, no, Bing. You're sweet and gracious and divine, darling. But now that you've asked me, I really don't feel like singing.
Oh, but to lose.
But no use begging. It's useless. It's useless.
I'm sorry.
I just won't sing now. Oh, a little later, perhaps.
Yeah, that's it. A little later. Now, if you'll excuse me for a few minutes, Peggy Lee and I like to blend a popular favorite of thing called Just the Way You Are. You ready, Peg? I like my eggs over easy and my coffee black. I like my steak rare and juicy or my money back. I like my tea poured directly from the samovar. But I like you just the way you are.
I like my juice when I wake up or I'm so upset. I'm quite a fussy budget for my favorite cigarette. And I go mad when a picture's printed on the wall. But I like you anyway at all.
Friends know about my idiosyncrasies, peculiarity.
They grin and bear 'em.
I'm telling you all this confidentially, because eventually you'll have to share them.
I like the seams in the stocking to be smooth and straight. I like my meat and potatoes on a separate plate.
About a million and one things I'm particular, but I like you just the way you are.
I like my sheets and my covers to be tucked and tied. I like your kid brother when he's out of sight.
I like my champagne especially with caviar,
but I like you just the way you are.
I like to peek at the ending when I start a book. I like a boy not afraid to eat the things I cook.
I like a gal who's punctual when I come to call,
but I like you anyway at all.
Friends know about my idiosyncrasies
peculiar.
Everything's
the grin and bear 'em.
I'm telling you all this
confidentially, because
eventually we'll have to share them. I like your name and it's best to coincide with mine.
And I am quick to confess that I would like it fine.
About a million and one things I'm particular, but I like you just the way you are.
Peggy?
It's nice to say so.
Bing, I want to tell you something. When it comes to Chesterfields, nobody has to tell you that you like them just the way they are, that you're just in love with them.
Oh, they certainly don't, Ken. Once you take a puff of one of those milder Chesterfields, you know you're in love with them.
And folks, over 1,000 tobacco growers are in love with Chesterfields, too.
And we've got the love letters to prove it. Mr. Carpenter, will you read the proof of Chesterfield's mildness?
That proof is found in this statement from over 1,000 prominent tobacco growers. It reads, "To judge tobacco for its mild smoking qualities, I smell it. If it smells milder, I know it will smoke milder. If that tobacco is made into cigarettes, those cigarettes will smell milder and smoke milder. That's why I smoke Chesterfields."
Nicely done. Nicely proved, too. You ready with the proof of no unpleasant aftertaste?
Proof of no unpleasant aftertaste is found in the report from the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. The report concludes, Chesterfield is the only cigarette in which members of the panel found no unpleasant aftertaste.
Now, you put that proof together and you find that Chesterfield gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. So Chesterfield gives you more for your money, and that's something to think about these days. So always buy Chesterfield.
And now here is Miss Peggy Lee, who brings us a new ballad entitled, "Would I Love You?"
Oh, for just a chance to love you, would I love you, love you, love you? To take you in my arms has always been my goal. Sure as there's a moon above, when I'm yearning so, oh, for just the chance to love you. Would I love you, love you, love you? To take you in my arms has always been my goal. Sure.
Oh, darling, that was lovely, Peggy. Really, really beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Tallulah. And I consider that a real compliment, coming from another girl singer.
Isn't she sweet? where's the man called Bean?
Right here, right here.
Darling, I hope you heard what Peggy said.
I did.
Don't you think I should sing?
Certainly. You know, Tallulah, what we should do is we ought to do a play with a song in it.
Better yet.
Well, I think we should do a dramatic song, something like perhaps Just a Gigolo.
Oh, divine.
Just a Gigolo's a great old tune, you know, very popular in 1930. Ah, those were the days.
Yes, and the nights weren't bad either.
I wouldn't know. Mother always tucked me in pretty early, though.
Well, you were a little old for that sort of thing, weren't you? But being... darling, about this song we're doing, do we sing together or do we do each have a solo?
Well, the way I have it planned, Tallulah, is that I sing Just a Gigolo, and then we do a dramatic recitation.
No singing?
You don't exactly sing in this, but there's music behind you.
Why should there be music behind me?
Well, there's none in you.
Well, I asked you and I found out. You could have been a little more gentle about it.
In the interest of the public welfare, Tallulah, I'd choose to be firm. But you'll love this. Now, let's get on with the play, huh? Will you set the scene, Mr. Carpenter?
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take you to Paris, France, where we present a tragic episode of Love and Broken Hearts entitled Just a Gigolo, or He Was Dancing with Tears in His Eyes Because the Old Dame He Was Waltzing With Was Wearing an Onion Corset. Oh. And now for our musical play starring Mr. Bing Crosby and Miss Tallulah Bankhead. Overture, John Scott.
Just a gigolo everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Every night some heart betraying. There will come a day you will pass away. Then what will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. As life goes on without me.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what he is. Just a gigolo. A sleek, despicable playboy. Who dances with women for money. He's a spineless, well-tailored dandy. With no scruples, no character. And very often, no roommates. Yes, that's what he is, a gigolo. And me, you ask, what am I? Did somebody ask?
I'm asking, what are you?
Me, I'm a gigolette.
A gigolo who?
Crosby. That's a something they wrote in. That's a girl gigolo, stupid. Oh, yes, I'm a gigolette. I laugh and laugh and dance each night. Dance, 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 laugh, laugh, laugh. Oh, people think I'm happy, but actually my feet are killing me. Mom, we love each other, so why must you be a gigolo? And why must I be a gigolette?
We must work.
Sometimes I think that you like these other women and that you do not love me.
I hate being a gigolo. Bowing and scraping to ladies for money, sacre bleu. I've kissed for many hands, I got dishpan lips.
You have beautiful lips, my little cabbage.
Oh, Jeanette, why did you ever become a gigolette?
Why does anyone become a gigolette? Then you, Armand, why did you become a gigolo?
Because I could not become a gigolette. Union, you know. Strong union.
So I'm on my own, my very own. At last, I realized why I love you so.
Why?
Because you could not become a gigolette.
You have made the little joke to keep my heart from breaking. You are brave.
You have to be brave to tell these little jokes, baby.
Jeanette, you have never told me of your past. What were you like as a little girl?
Well, as a little girl, I worked in the vineyard near Bordeaux, crushing grapes with my beautiful little feet.
Ah, they are still beautiful. Still blue, too.
Oh, I was happy crushing grapes. And then one day it happened, I received a dishonorable discharge.
Why?
They caught me sitting down on the job. Oh, Armand, why don't we go back to Bordeaux so I can get you away from all these other women?
Ah, you are jealous of me. But I am also jealous of you. You are seeing entirely too much of that wealthy American lately.
No, that is nothing true. I went to his apartment, but we just played an American game. It was a game called a Monopoly.
Monopoly?
It's a game that you play with real estate.
And did you win?
Oh, yes, I think so. I am now the sole owner of Pottstown, PA. Oh, Armand, once again, we must part.
What a wretched career I have chosen. It's all right now while I'm young and beautiful, but when I am old, what will happen to me?
What can happen? You'll wind up on a used gigolo lot. But, lucky for you, darling, you've only been driven by old ladies. Oh, I shouldn't jest. Dama, we have both chosen wretched lives. Where will it lead us? Where will it end?
I will tell you where it will end.
When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo.
You care to join me?
May we, oui, oui, oui.
As life goes on without me.
You know, Bing, tomorrow is February 22nd, Washington's birthday.
Right, Ken. He was one of America's greatest statesmen and had a pretty fair pitching arm, as I remember. Wasn't Washington the fellow who threw the silver dollar across the Rappahannock River?
Yes, Bing, but you got to remember a dollar went further in those days than it does now.
Ken, I'm glad you said that.
You are.
That joke's been used on every Washington's birthday since George first threw the dollar. I wouldn't want us to break tradition. We got to throw
it. Well, Bing, I didn't say it for that reason. I merely want to point out that even though a dollar doesn't go as far these days, Chesterfield does give folks more for their money. Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste.
That's right, folks, and you can prove those qualities just as easy as falling off a log. Just put your money on a pack of Chesterfields, open them, take a healthy whiff of that milder, delicate aroma. Then remember that tobacco growers have been saying for years,
tobaccos that smell milder, smoke milder.
Smoke Chesterfield and see how true that is. They're milder, but that isn't all. There's an extra added attraction.
In Chesterfield, you get no unpleasant aftertaste. Now, that fact, of course, we get from the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
So, there you have the reasons that you like Chesterfields. Chesterfield is the cigarette that has, for you, mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. In the musical capsule, it goes like this.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So ho, open a pack and give them a smell.
Then you smoke them.
Dreams grow. no regretting. Will she remember me? Will she forget? I'll send a thousand flowers when the trade winds blow. I'll sell my lonely heart for I love her so. Someday I know,
someday
she'll come back again to me.
Till then
my heart'll be beyond the
darling. That was lovely.
Thank you.
Well, darling, what happens now?
Nothing happens. This is it.
Do you mean the program's over?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I keep forgetting you have one of those little demi-task programs.
Well, that's the whole idea of this network. That's what CBS stands for. Concise, brief, succinct.
Oh. I'm glad I didn't have to pronounce that. By the way, how many guest stars are you going to have on your show next week?
Next week, Tallulah, just to show you we're no pikers around here, we're having 7 guest stars.
Ah, you're kidding.
I'm not. We're having the Anders sisters, Nat King Cole, and the trio. That's 7. Count them. Right?
Well, all right, darling.
Good night.
Good night, Bing Dunn. Thank you so much.
Thank you, honey. Good night, folks. See you next week for Chesterfield. The best cigarette for you to smoke.
Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, the Andrews Sisters, and Nat King Cole and the trio.